Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Carolina Panthers on the bye this week as they get set for their next showdown next Sunday at 1 p.m. where they take on the Kansas City Chiefs at home at the bank. You know what I did not look? I wonder what tickets are going to right now.
They were pretty expensive earlier on in the season.
Sure.
I can't imagine how much they are now.
Let's see what SeatGeek has to say about these particular tickets. I got my tickets to Saints Panthers for $12, I think is ultimately what I paid. I got them for $12, and I would not be shocked if these have got to be what, at least $25.
I'm gonna go like hundreds. I think because not everyone gets the chance to see Kansas City play.
So that is going to be interesting because this absolutely does feel like one of those games that people are going to go to see Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce play. In fact, I will tell you this. I was telling the wife yesterday. She's like, we try to set our weekend plan. She's like, what are we doing? Because weekend after that, we're going back to Florida for Thanksgiving. And she said, are we doing anything the weekend before or can we plan something? And I said, I said, honestly, Sunday, I'm probably going to go to Charlotte, probably going to go to the Chiefs game. I'll either do it on a press pass or I'll just buy tickets depending on what they cost. I want to say the same tickets, but tickets that are similar to the tickets, Lonzo, that I paid $12 to go see the Panthers and the Saints game. In fact, in the same section, actually, now that I'm looking, the same seats that I paid for, which means there's a season ticket holder that just bought the tickets to resell them. These same seats that I sat in, according to StubHub right now, are $140.
Yeah, because I checked earlier in the season and they were over $100 then, and those are the cheap ones.
Yeah, $140. This is to sit about halfway up in section 509. If you want to sit in the 300s, which are the club level seats and the more spacious seats, the lowest ticket price I'm looking at right now for those tickets is right around $330. And if you want to sit down in the lower bowl on the field, you're going in for at least $440, which is, again, because the Chiefs are coming to town for this one. What do you want? What do you want out of this game? I think for me, it's number one. I am going to work on the assumption for now. The assumption for now that Jonathan Brooks is going to be healthy for this game. I honestly don't know that I love giving him his first snaps against Kansas City's defensive line.
And here's the other thing you need to be probably worried about, I guess, is that Kansas City could be coming off of a loss when they're playing them. Because they play Buffalo this weekend, and, you know, if Buffalo beats them, they might be a little angry coming in to the bank.
Certainly possible. And I do think we'll be able to talk about this game with more solid analysis after this weekend for Kansas City. And on top of that, to see, you know, I'm curious, and we'll talk to Rashad next Thursday. I'll be following around, some of the Panther beat reporters over the next couple of days as Carolina goes into their bye week. Just to kind of see what the mood is. I mean, obviously the mood around the franchise after the overtime win in Germany over the New York Giants is certainly elevated. And I think you can see that based on the quotes and the videos that are coming out of Panther camp. I think you can certainly see that based on the way that the beat reporters, the Sheena Quicks of the world are reporting the locker room environment and atmosphere. I genuinely think, and we talked about this, I think 2 weeks ago, I think the game before, or I think the week leading up to the Denver game, we talked a little about this. The attitude that you could hear out of J.C. Horn, the attitude you could hear out of Chuba Hubbard, the attitude that you could hear out of most of the players, it sounded like a different group of dudes, right? Like it sounded like a football team that was shocked that their record was what their record was. It sounded like a football team that was shocked that they had lost not just the games that they had lost, but the number of games that they had lost. It sounded like a team that had some level of confidence in itself. Now, that's not going to translate to a win over the Kansas City Chiefs, the only undefeated team in the National Football League. Even if that team is living on the edge more weeks than they're not, you just ain't there. But, you know, I feel about this game the way that I have felt about so many Gamecock games. Can you go out and make it competitive? Can you make Kansas City fail to cover the spread again, right? Like that to me, what I think I'm looking for is Carolina not to compete with the Chiefs. I'm looking for Carolina to compete with the spread. I'm looking for Carolina because you're going to be probably, I would guess, 14.5-point dog in this one. Even at home, I think you're a 2-touchdown dog. I would look for you to compete with the spread. Can you keep it within whatever the spread is? And if the answer is yes, I'm going to feel real good. Do I bring Jonathan Brooks back and play him in his first action against Chris Jones in the Chiefs D-line? Probably not. If Chuba Hubbard's good, but Chuba's got that tweaked ankle from last week, so I don't know. We'll find out. But I'm playing the spread in this game if I'm Carolina. I'm trying to keep it within that mark. Go try to win the game, sure. But for me as an analyst, I will gauge this team based on what they do against that number, not against the Chiefs. All right, we'll talk more about Carolina as we move forward towards that Chiefs game. But before we get there, next segment, we are going to be speaking with Chris Miller. He hosts the Carolina Gamecock pregame and postgame show. We'll talk to Chris about what he expects to see up against Missouri this weekend next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I have a sneaky suspicion that here in just a few minutes, the Gamecock fans are going to get real, real excited.
They're going to do what you and I both did.
Real excited.
A reaction at the same time, which, you know, I hope he's right, by the way.
That the host of the South Carolina Gamecock pregame and postgame show, he is his Twitter bio says 14-time South Carolina Sportscaster of the Year. I believe that he is just the only winner and has been winning since he was born, I assume.
I think that is as long as that particular award
has been going.
Checks
out.
I think so.
He is, and I have called him this, and I say it as a big fan of both of these individuals, the Tom Brady of sportscasting in South Carolina. Chris Miller joins us here on the show to talk some Gamecock footy. What's up, fella?
Good morning, man. It is a Gamecock Friday. I'm pumped.
I love it. I love it. And you should be. Listen, I want to dive into this game and the X's and O's and give you my keys and get yours and all that. But I don't think any of that is going to resonate, Chris Miller, quite as much as what you just said to me, your little theory you're cooking up there in Rock Hill right now about the Gamecocks and why they're ranked number 21. Talk to me, big dog. Tell the people what you just told Lonzo and I on the stream a moment ago.
So I this is no knowledge, no inside knowledge or anything, but you just take a look at a 6-3 football team with a 27-3 loss to Ole Miss, two other losses on your resume, obviously were three of the setbacks, being ranked number 21. That was somewhat surprising. They're ranked ahead of LSU, a team they lost to. Now, of course, LSU has struggled lately. I believe if you go back to when the college football playoff top 12 was set up, when they said we're going to have 12 teams in, one of the reasons was we want to reward teams that got hot at the right time. We want to make sure we put the 12 best teams in. And I think they're setting South Carolina up. If they take care of business and it's a big and, other things happen. Like, I think Clemson needs to make the ACC championship and win, and South Carolina needs to beat them. And A&M needs to make the SEC championship and win. If those two items happen and South Carolina is able to, obviously they've already convincingly beat A&M, but you go to Morehouse State and you beat Clemson, you went out, you would have had wins against four ranked teams, you would have won six in a row, and you would have beaten the ACC and SEC champion. I think it becomes difficult on those that are looking at the playoffs to not include, at least have a serious discussion about South Carolina being one of the 12 teams in.
So I've got to connect this to a conversation, Chris Miller, that we had earlier this week. Heather Dinich, of who I am a big fan, was on Pat McAfee's show earlier this week. She said, you know, I would not count out a three-loss SEC program for making it in. She was specifically talking about Georgia. And I said, look, yeah. I don't think a three-loss team is getting in. South Carolina, Georgia, I just don't think there's going to be room. But hypothetically, if there is, I said, this is the kind of crap that ticks me off. It's the same thing we did with Alabama, Florida State last year, because if you're going to say a three-loss Georgia can make it in, to me, a three-loss South Carolina team should go in first. And as a separate conversation, I said, this is just proof that the College Football Playoff Committee and the television networks who drive it care more about brand than they do what's happening on the field. But if you're going to say Georgia should be in, South Carolina should be in over Georgia if the records are the same.
Yeah, I think, because you're right, I think this is all we're hinging on South Carolina winning their final three games. And I think they need to convincingly beat Missouri tomorrow. They're a 14-point favorite, and I think they need to cover. I think they need to tell people, look, we're for real. But keep in mind, South Carolina has now beaten four SEC opponents by 21 or more points. That has never happened. They have never had a season where they beat four SEC opponents by three touchdowns or more. They've actually, their last three, they've beaten by over those points. You look at beating Vanderbilt, a ranked team, by 21, beating A&M by 24, beating Oklahoma by 26. Right, two of those were on the road, and this was a Vanderbilt team that, gosh, scored 40 against Alabama, could only put up 7 against the Gamecocks. And I will argue that 7 was a busted play. It was 3rd and 9 where Pavia got loose. The Gamecocks brought an outside blitz, and he just got loose up the middle. So if they don't make a mistake on defense, they might pitch a shutout in that one. I mean, they're playing at a level that I think, if you're going with the model of the reason the 12-team playoff was set up, we want to put the teams that are playing their best football at the right time, at the end of the season, into this playoff. I think it's tough to argue against South Carolina. Again, if they went out and A&M and Clemson take care of business and win their respective conference championships. I know those are two big ifs. They're two huge ifs. But there is a reason why, if you go to ESPN.com and there's a percentage that says, would you be in the playoffs? South Carolina, if they went out, it says 63% chance of making the playoffs.
That's real interesting. That's real strong. And we'll talk more about that as we get closer. But as you mentioned, this is kind of the spot. And I'm glad we walked into this, because I talked about this earlier in the show. I wanted to bring it up to you. There's probably not a kid. Actually, there's not a kid on this roster that, as a South Carolina Gamecock, has ever entered an SEC game against a top 25 opponent and been favored, forget, by two touchdowns, favored over a top 25 team. So for me, the next big question that Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks have to answer is, when you come into a game as a two-touchdown favorite over a top 25 team, when you are favored by this much, like an 80% chance to win, minus 300-something on the money line to win this game, are you able to stay in the mindset of kind of that we got stuff to prove that you had against Oklahoma, that you had against A&M, that you had against Vanderbilt? Or is this team the kind of team that maybe starts to read the press clippings, starts to believe their own hype a little bit, and it changes the way they attack the game? Is this a team that can look at a 14.5 point favorite side of the spread and still come out and be the same team they were against A&M?
I think they are, and here's why. Missouri's beaten them the last five times. This is a team that's had the Gamecocks' number. For some reason, South Carolina's been able to beat other teams. In that time, they've upset Tennessee. They've upset Georgia. They've upset Clemson. They've done this, but for some reason, they've just not been able to take care of Missouri. Eli Drinkwitz is 5-0 all time. That's not only his four wins at Missouri. That's also his one win when he was at Appalachian State against South Carolina, for crying out loud. So Drinkwitz has had the Gamecocks number and Missouri. So I think that's why. I think you ignore all that because you don't want to let this team, again, that you're clearly better than this year. You don't want to let them have a chance in this. And again, they're going to be playing a backup quarterback. Brady Cook was listed as doubtful in yesterday's availability report. So you're going to be playing Drew Pine, a guy who came in as the backup, and instead of Brady Cook, who's a four-year starter of this Missouri team. So I think everything's aligning for South Carolina, not just to win, but win convincingly tomorrow.
Chris Miller hosts the South Carolina Gamecock pregame and postgame show, joins us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. We were talking kind of keys to the game earlier in this one, and for me, Chris Miller, this is a game where I think the defensive backs may be a little bit more challenging. Again, we were working on best-case scenario for Mizzou, obviously, would be Brady Cook playing in this game. But I think this is a little bit more of a passing threat. As much as I love Diego Pavia, he's just a fun quarterback to watch play. I think this is a team a little bit more organized in the passing attack, a little bit more complicated in the passing attack than Vanderbilt was. This game, to me, is one that the DBs will likely be tested. But that also means that the defensive line can win this game and cover that up. Give me your top two or three keys to this football contest.
You know, let's go with the passing tech. Let's assume that Brady Cook does play. He's listed as doubtful, which, again, with the availability report, you can only play guys so many times this year as doubtful or you get in trouble. So I think it's highly unlikely to play. Let's say he does, and they want to come out and they want to throw the football. I am a big fan of the Gamecocks DBs this year. I mean, Nicky Manmore is a first-round draft pick. I mean, he's played himself into that. O'Donnell Fortune is playing himself into an NFL roster, and Judge Collier's playing well. He was the kind of, he to me has been the surprise. You knew Fortune, you knew what you're getting about Eman Ware. You're also going to have DQ Smith back, who did not play last week. So you've got, and let me tell you, all four of those dudes, homegrown. Judge Collier from Rock Hill. You got O'Donnell Fortune from Sumter, DQ Smith from Columbia, and Nicky Eman Ware from Irmo. So that whole defensive backfield, all South Carolina guys. I like them up against anybody. With that said, you're right. Theo Weiss. He has really come on this year for Missouri. And Luther Burden's kind of had a down season. I know it's tough to say when you got 47 catches, but he was the one everyone talked about was going to be the man. Weiss has played really, really well. So they have a real strong 1-2 combination, but it all starts with that front line. You're right, that defensive line. If South Carolina goes up early in this game, I don't see any way that Missouri can compete because you're just going to allow Dylan Stewart, you're going to allow Jules, who's back this week. Jules, who's kind of their third rusher, he's going to be back ready to go. DeAndre Jules missed the last three games. And, of course, you got Kyle Kennard, who's making a real strong push for SEC Defensive Player of the Year and will probably be a first-round draft pick himself. You get all those guys matched up, I just don't see how they're going to be able to throw the football at all.
I don't disagree. I think last week, and this is the difference from the Vanderbilt game to this game for me, Chris, is – last week, setting the edge to keep Diego Pavia in the pocket. And if he's going to run, he's got to run into the linebacker wall, not outside and around it. I think this week, you can even be a little bit more aggressive off the edge. I can turn the heart and soul of this defense in Kennard and Stewart. I can say, hey, pin the ears back, go get him, disrupt. I'm not as concerned about setting the edge this time as I am trying to make sure that he does not get, whoever is going to be back there throwing the ball, is not getting more than 3 seconds to stand in the pocket and find a receiver, even if we do believe in the DBs. And I'm with you. I think it's a good set. I would still love to make it where they don't have to work that hard because the routes don't have time to develop. Let's look at the other side of the football. This offensive line has progressed. My big concern, and I think we talked about this, Chris, at the beginning of the year, was I didn't think I was seeing a developmental rate out of Rocket Sanders, out of Lenora Sellers, and out of the offensive line that I'd like. The last 4 weeks, I damn sure have, and I think if you just open the holes for Rocket Sanders, you did against Vandy, you did against A&M, you did against Oklahoma, do what you've done offensively, and you win this game.
Torres Elliott Simpkins has been back-to-back SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. You've got Josiah Thompson, who's a five-star playing at left tackle. Tre Bobole is a backup, and this was a dude that started 11 games last year for South Carolina. For two consecutive games, they've allowed a goose egg in the sacks department. Think about that. No sacks over two games in the SEC? That's pretty impressive. But I think the biggest thing for South Carolina is Sanders and Sellers are healthy. I mean, they were – you go back to that Ole Miss game, the LSU game. Obviously, Sellers missed the second half of LSU. Ole Miss, he didn't even play. You had a situation where you had Sanders get banged up against Ole Miss. So – it's easy to see the reason why they're getting better offensively. They are getting stronger. They're getting healthier. And I believe this, the development of the passing game, specifically Josh Simon. Josh Simon, to me, has been the biggest surprise offensively for South Carolina. He has come out, I would say, he was in Trey Knox's shadow last year. He was kind of a forgotten tight end, a backup tight end. Trey Knox graduated. Josh Simon is going to be an NFL tight end because what he has shown. He's shown the big play ability. He's shown the ability to block. And he is that safety net for Sellers when he gets in trouble. Look at the stats the last two games. Leading receivers have been Rocket Sanders and Josh Simons. Your tight end and your running backs are making big plays in the passing game. That's only going to allow Nick Harbor, Mazio Bennett, Jared Brown to have even bigger games because now you got to worry about five and six catching the football.
We're talking to Chris Miller, host of the pre- and post-game show for the South Carolina Gamecocks, last one. And we'll let you get back to your IT work this morning, Chris. You know, ordinarily I say, okay, Gamecocks win this game if blank. Instead, let's change the question up. 14.5-point favorites. The Gamecocks cover the spread and get even more national attention with another top 25 victory if blank.
If they do what they've been doing the last 4 weeks. And that's come out, take care of the football, don't make mistakes. And I think that's something we need to go back to. They are not turning the football over. They're not screwing up. They're going out there. They're running the plays. They're not fumbling. If they don't get they don't score, they punt the ball away and go play defense. They know their defense is elite. The number three defense in the entire country. The number one defense in the SEC right now. So the offense doesn't have to go out like they've the past couple years and score 40 points. So they go out, they can methodically move the football down the field. If they do what they do, they win this game by 21 or more points. They are better at nearly every position. Sans the wide receivers, they are better across the board against Missouri. And that's at home? Come on now. They're a different animal at home. I mean, you're getting Missouri at home. They break that five-game winning streak by Mizzou this week, and I think they do it easily.
Keep it a buck. I really wish this was a 7:30 game, bud. I really do. I wish this was a night game.
The second half will be at night, so that'll be fine. So the lights will be down at night, so it'll be a little cool for that.
Hey, sometimes close enough is good enough. Sometimes it is. Chris Miller hosts the pre- and post-game show. He is a 97-time winner of the South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sportscaster of the Year Award and a solid dude, which is the best compliment I can hand out. My man, great to have you as always, brother. Have a great show and a great call this weekend, pal. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you all.
Always, Chris Miller, legend, icon, and stellar IT dude, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. We got Kevin Thomas and John Epps joining us to talk a little high school football when we come back on the Rob Brown Show after Lonzo Sports Flash.
Yay. The Philadelphia Eagles took full control of the NFC East with a 26-18 win over Washington last night. Jalen Hurts completed 18-28 passes for 221 yards. That's pretty good. Saquon Barkley had 146 of Philly's 228 rushing yards. Washington apparently has no defense and two touchdowns on 26 carries. Philly improves to 8-2, one game better than Washington in the division. George Bulldogs will be without leading rusher Trevor Etienne when they face Tennessee Volunteers this Saturday. Etienne was downgraded to out due to an upper body injury suffered November 2nd against Florida. With injuries to Cash Jones and Branson Robinson, Georgia has only one running back on the roster, freshman Nate Frazier. Tune in tomorrow morning at 10:30 as Furman Paladins take on the East Tennessee State Buccaneers. It's Furman versus ETSU right here on your home for Paladins football and basketball. It's us, the Fan, Upstate.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.